Amen. Well, I am going to Romans 8 today, and I did not know he was going to be talking out of Romans chapter 8 today. So,
wow.
That's okay. It's all right. We're there, right? So, we will let the little people go. Yay. Amen. 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 So, we're going to be reading out of the Passion Translation today. And, you know, the biggest thing, guys, that the devil has are thoughts and lies, suggestions. You know, at the time the enemy comes to you and he says something to you, you know, I was just reading Luke last night, just meditating, you know, where the devil came and tempted Jesus. And all he has is suggestions. That's all they are, is just suggestions, you know? You know, if you really were the Son of God, you would, if you really were the Son of God, then you'd, thoughts. That's the only way he has access to our life is through thoughts or and other people who submit to him to try to influence us. Because really, in this world, you think about it, without people or something to manifest themselves through, the devil has no voice and God has no voice. If he's not working through people, then you really wouldn't know. So they're looking for vessels, the devil and God, both looking for obedient vessels that will do what they say. Every person who has taken a breath on this earth has experienced and dealt with shame, guilt of some kind, right? We've all experienced that at some point in our lives, right? We all have. It doesn't matter who we are. We're dealing with things that, you know, the devil is always trying to deal with us about insecurities. I mean, really think about it. Jesus had no insecurity. There was no insecurity, you know? A whole system was coming against Jesus about, you can't do that, right? And people who stand out are those people who come against, you know, the norm, and they say either society standards or whatever, or they're saying you can't do that, and they're saying, yes, I can. Whether it's for good or for bad. You know, and I was watching Oral Roberts this morning. I like going on YouTube and watching the old videos, and I'll put it on my phone and I'll make the girls breakfast like on Sunday mornings, and they'll watch a video or something and they'll ask me questions about it and everything else too. You know, Oral Roberts had so much attack because he would say things like, you know, God wants good things for you. We can have, you know, good things through God. He got so attacked for that. God wants you healed. He wants you. You know, I was just watching one this morning where Oral Roberts was talking about, you know, God wants to meet your needs and give you that car you need and a home to live in and finances and healed and everything else too. And much of the church at that time was completely foreign to them. You know, and he got actually attacked for those kind of things. I remember, you know, listening to Richard Roberts, which was his son, would get beat up every day at school because his dad was Oral Roberts. And he kind of resented church and things like that, you know, because kids at school would make fun of him, tease him and everything. But hey, proof's in the pudding, right? And daddy got some results. And so, you know, you can't resist those things. Romans 8, and it says here, and let me get there myself. So now the case is closed. Guess what, guys? The case is closed, right? Yeehaw! I like that. Not the yeehaw, but the case is closed, okay? I want to clarify that, you know. But, mine doesn't say yeehaw in it, Pastor. What translation are you in? That would be The Message. The Message. Yo, dude. It's all taken care of, man. And I have wanted to come out with a redneck Bible at some point. You know, that would be awesome. But, you know, I don't know. I don't see that on the time horizon anytime soon, but My preaching is the redneck version sometimes. So, you know, we'll just get that in there. So anyway, Yeah, I is a redneck, and I comes from some redneck people. So anyway, there's some rednecks in my family. So anyway, but it's a glorious lack of sophistication. But praise God, I wear that badge like. So now the case is closed. It's done. It's sealed. Signed, sealed, delivered. It's done. It's over with. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Man, that is amazing. We should all be running this morning because of that scripture. Let's read it again. Now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation. That's right. Against those. See, you got it. See, you're getting it now. Yeehaw. That's right. Those who are, remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in a life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. The King James says there is no, therefore now no condemnation those who are in Christ Jesus, right? The King James. And you can go yeehaw all day long, and it will be amazing, right? The devil is the one, he's the accuser of the brethren. That's what the Bible says. The devil is the one that is accuser of the brethren. So you know what? Anytime you know that there's condemnation in your life, now there's conviction that says you shouldn't do that, but condemnation says you're a dirty piece of trash, and you've done these things, and you'll never be good enough. That's condemnation, right? I always like to think of it this way. Condemnation always, it always beats you up and doesn't give you a way out. Conviction, or, you know, when you're convicted of something, always gives you a way out. You always know the two. And condemnation will always beat you up for things you've done in the past. I remember I was watching we were looking at pictures yesterday. And, you know, Brian and I were looking at some old pictures he dug out. And, of when I was 16 at my, 16th birthday. That was only, 10 years ago. So, it was just a few years ago now. But there's not one molecule in my body that is the same. Ever think about that? I was watching a musician one time, and he was interviewing people, and people were, saying, man, how come you don't do this, and you still do this and this and this? And he goes, man, there's not. I don't even have the same molecules in my body anymore. I'm not even the same person anymore. And we look at a picture. That's something that doesn't exist anymore, right? You look at a Polaroid. You look at some of those old pictures, and you're like, that was that person. That's not me anymore, right? I'm not that good looking anymore, right? I mean, 16 years old, and I don't have a 16-year-old, but that ain't me anymore, right? But that's okay. Right? That's okay. So, we can always look back and say, and the devil's always wanted to pull up an old Polaroid of you. Like, oh, remember when you did that? Remember when you did this? Why should I remember? Because the Lord doesn't. And I remember Mr. one time talking about the Lord and Eric talking about different things. And I think it was Jesse Duplantis talking about somebody had experience with the Lord and went to heaven. And they were just bowing at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, get up. Now again, Jesus is the Son of God. He's holy. We worship him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. But just like there in Romans, it says that we are now joint heirs. We get rid of the sin consciousness, right? Now, if Jesus showed up today or we were in heaven, my face would be on the floor. I would be like, whoo, glory, yeehaw, right? But at the throne, the devil's a liar, and he lies to us all the time. And that's what's going to hinder us from many things, right? So the case is closed, but the devil's trying to open it back up again. It's already done. It's a done deal. We're trying to bring up a closed case, and God is scratching his head and has no idea what we're talking about. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. And really, sometimes when we go to him and we're, you know, again, there is a place for 1 John 1:9 where we do, we come, we ask for forgiveness. He is just, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins, right? So he is there too when we do. And it says, if we sin. So, you know, those times we do make mistakes, we, you know, just repent and move on. But there's no condemnation. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is you sin, you die. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, there was a crippled man. And that crippled man, the disciples, and the thought process was that somebody sinned. And what was his his response of his disciples? Well, who sinned, his mother or his father, right? Because the concept was you sin, you die. You sin, something bad comes on you. And there is some truth to that, right? I mean, you do drugs, your body's going to break down. You ever seen those pictures of people on meth and stuff like that? They have like all the police reports and all that stuff. They show the before and after. I mean, we can see that the wages of sin is death, right? It doesn't matter what you do, right? I can eat ho-hos and ding-dongs and it's going to catch up with me. So, you know, there are things that we're going to abuse our bodies, we're going to do things, and it's going to show up eventually. Well, Jesus said, well, neither, right? Sometimes they're just not things that, but that's the mentality back then. In the Jewish culture, the Hebrew culture was you do something, you did something, and then something's going to manifest itself, and you're going to be punished for it. Which there's some truth to that. But this says here that the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Now, many people, let's just say this here, many people are trying to defeat the devil through the flesh. You know? Through the weakness of humanity, but our natural, through our natural ability. Well, our natural ability isn't going to do it. You know, years ago, when Nader and I first, you know, rededicated ourselves, you know, and we were in a church, you know, and it was sometimes like, you know, we'd pray, and there is a, you know, stirring yourself up. You know, Jude 20 says, but you beloved, praying the Holy Ghost, stirring yourselves up, praying the Holy Ghost, right? So there is a stirring yourself up. There is a getting out of the flesh, those things. And sometimes I thought, the louder I pray, man, it's gonna stir something up. God's going to do something, you know, right? No. And I've fasted before, and it changes me, but God's not going, oh, well, he fasted. Okay, well, I better do it now, right? No, nothing that we do is going to make things. It's God is faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. What is faith? Well, Isaiah 1:19 says, the willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. The willing and obedient. But we're not here to do things in our flesh. Right? I'm going to defeat the devil. I'm going to do this. No, it's Jesus' blood, right? Because the devil really isn't scared of you and I, but he's scared of the thing in us, the anointing, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the blood. You start talking about the blood, boop, he's gone. You start talking about the stripes of Jesus, whoop, bye-bye. You start talking about these things, and he doesn't like to stick around. Many people, again, are trying to make themselves better, right? And the key to being having a passion for Jesus is we realize that we're nothing without him, but we're everything because of him. I cannot do anything. The word says I move and have my being in him. What does that mean is every breath that I take, everything that I do, every step that I take is because of him. So we got to realize that everything that we do, but then on the other hand, the anointing, the grace, the mercy that is put on us, we got to receive it, right? It's kind of like having a birthday party or a Christmas present or handing it to somebody. No, I'm just not worthy. No, I'm just not worthy. Well, I spent good money for you, so here it is, right? No, I just can't take it. Okay. And there's no return policy in heaven, right? It's not like those people who don't receive it. Jesus is like, oh, okay, well, I'll just take it back then. No, he's already paid the price. It's done. The price has been paid. It's ours to take. And again, if we would be able to do it ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus. Yet God sent his Son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. God's Son gave his body. God's Son gave his body. God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. Guilt and the power of sin have already been condemned. It's already been taken care of. Again, what happens? It's the devil lying to us, bringing thoughts up of our past. The power of Christ has destroyed guilt, has destroyed the power of sin. We have a decision, like Deuteronomy says, choose life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Choose life. As born-again Christians, especially Spirit-filled people, understanding the Word, we've got to make a decision. You know what I mean? It's like anything else. Some people, you know, they make 52 decisions a year to go to church. I've made one. That's years ago. I've just decided when the doors are open, I'm there. Even before I was, you know, pastor or anything, right? It's a decision. Let's make one decision a day. I'm going to receive my forgiveness from God today. Now, there are people who are born again, but they still live in guilt and shame, right? What they've done. They still beat themselves up over things. Let's be completely free this morning. You know, and there's a different, you know, we always, years ago, we used to do like some citywide, you know, crusade things and do different things with different churches. And one year we had, I don't know, have you ever heard of, and you should all go on YouTube or look up, it's Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. It's a great, and what it is, it's a drama, and they have different teams that go all over. And they're going for like a weekend, and usually it's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or something like that. They'll have like 3 days, 3 or 4 days in a row. And they'll put on a drama at church or, you know, wherever. And so, you know, we would join with other churches a lot. And, you know, they're not all Spirit-filled. There'd be some Baptists and, you know, Assembly of God or whatever denomination. We had some Nazarenes that came and joined us. You know, so when we get into salvation, I mean, oh, yeah, praise God. Woo, people getting saved. Yeah. Then you start getting into prosperity. Oh. Then you start getting into baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, well, look at the time. Whoa, got to go. Thanks again, right? Well, it's the same with this. We all have... Some people know that, all right, I got born again. I said that prayer. I feel good about myself. But they still deal with things. I believe as Christians, to walk a complete life, we need to have a clear conscience. Not just that I'm not doing bad things now, but the things I've done in the past are in the books and they're done. Like verse 1 said, man, I love that. So now the case is closed. Let's close the case. We're done. Signed, sealed, delivered. So if God came to condemn the guilt and the power of sin, why are we condemning ourselves? You know, we kind of mentioned on Friday nights about some people will, you know, believe God that is doing evil things. And one of the comments I had was, you know, it's almost like the church sometimes, they think that the devil isn't doing an evil enough job or a bad enough job, so they think that God's got to help the devil do bad things. How ridiculous is that? And I always like to think of it this way. The devil is really deflecting his condemnation on us. Because you always think about it, God is love, God is, you know, forgiveness. He is reflecting himself. The devil is simply deflecting what he has upon him, which is condemnation. No one, and again, no matter what the devil says, it's a lie. I was like when Jesus was there and the devil was tempting him. He said, you know, if you'll bow, I'll give you all of this. Well, he did have authority at that time, right? Because Adam gave him the keys, you know, gave him authority. But it doesn't mean that the devil's going to give it to him, right? And Jesus wasn't born yesterday. I mean, he's smarter than, yeah, me and, yeah, everybody else. And he knew the devil's a liar. I mean, don't you think that if Jesus thought, I could just end this right now, I'll just bow, he'll give me the authority back and we'll be all done? Hardy har har. I don't think so. Anything that comes from the devil is a lie. If you've been forgiven, well then stop feeling guilty. Again, those are feelings. Well, I feel guilty. Well, it's because you keep listening to the devil. Or, here's another one. I know this is a shock. Not everything in your life is your fault. And not everything that's gone wrong in your life is your fault. You know, psychologically speaking, often kids, especially in divorce situations or abuse or whatever, you know, if there's something going on, they take it upon themselves like it's their fault. You know, like a mom or dad leaves or something else, they thought that they weren't good enough, and therefore, you know, they blame themselves for it. Well, those kids had nothing to do with it. Right? But they take that blame upon themselves. And we always want to take, you know, sometimes blame on ourselves. It's not even our issue. We just take it upon ourselves, right? For example, I'm going to raise up my kids in the Lord. It's their decision what they do. Yeah. It's their decision what they do. If the, you know, timer comes up, well, no, I taught you right from wrong, and it's your decision. So there's things in our life that, you know what, the devil is going to try to rope you into, that it's your fault and condemn you for something. No, you're not. Don't need to be condemned about that stuff, right? You know, and I believe this, that God is not hiding from us, but he wants to help us. You know, I was a big fan of Jeff Foxworthy years ago. I love Jeff Foxworthy. I'll admit it. I'm sorry. Just the redneck stuff. I laugh, okay, because I always think about 10 different. I always think of numerous, you know, family members and friends that are just absolute rednecks. So I laugh about this kind of stuff. But what he's done for several years, he's led a men's Bible study, which I didn't know that. But he leads a Bible study, and he was just talking about how a lot of these people are homeless and they're broken. And how, you know, they'll come in. And it was interesting because, and I've done this before years ago, but he says, you know, I always kind of lumped homeless people just in the little box, you know, just like they're homeless, they need to get jobs, they need to, you know, we can have preconceived ideas about all kinds of people groups, right? You know, we can say, oh, well, they're this, and they need to do this, and this. And he says, so he was at some event with his family or something, and they had a table out there with this group for this homeless project they were doing, and the guys gave him a card and said, hey, you know, call me, I want to go to lunch sometimes. And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking, okay, what's he want from me? And so, so he said, man, I want you to come down to meet these guys. So anyway, long story short, he had on the counter and he just was kind of just, you know, his wife would ask him, you want me to throw this away? No, just hold on to it. You know, about every week, and you know, don't let me throw this away. You're going to do anything with it? No, just, I don't know, just leave it there. And so he eventually went out to lunch with this guy, and he says, okay, now what do you want? You know, you brought me to lunch here. You know, obviously you want something. He's thinking like a benefit thing, you know, or well, you want me to perform or do something. He goes, no, I want you to do a Bible study. What? Jeff Foxworthy, he's like, there's like 6.5 million people in Atlanta that are more qualified to do a Bible study than me, right? And anyway, so he said he went down and met these people. And talking about how God chases people. He said there was an individual that, and he says, when you listen to these stories, it's just amazing. But he said that this guy had a Bible his mother gave him that had, you know, signed it and everything. Well, anyway, he knew God when he was young. He had inherited some money, you know, a decent amount of money. And so I think it was like $75,000 or $100,000. So he inherited some money. So he began to party, do a lot of different bad things, did drugs, and then what happened was then he couldn't go to work, lost his job, became homeless. And then, of course, when the money ran out, the friends ran out. And so, but he always, you know, trying to get back to God, trying to do these, you know, trying to say, okay, how do I get my life back together? So anyway, he said that he lost this Bible. It was really, really special to him. And what triggered it was they were having a Bible study and they were talking about Bible. And one guy tossed it in the trash and he went and picked it out. And he was telling the story and he says, you know, I got a job working for this guy cleaning up old apartments and things like that. And he goes, I was 100 miles away from home, okay? So we were 100 miles out working. And he said, I lost this Bible. I hadn't even thought anything about it. He says, we're cleaning up trash out of these old apartments and going to, you know, remodel these apartments. And he says, I was just heading back, and there was a big pile of trash sitting there. And he said that his buddy was just shoveling stuff. And he said, I started digging through this stuff, looking. I thought I had a tool or something. I picked up, and there was the Bible, 100 miles away from home in the trash. They were digging out. And he goes, how much is God chasing me? You know, that this guy, burly guy, just broke down in tears because he's like, God is chasing me, this Bible that I lost as a kid. 100 miles away in trash somewhere that I just happen to be at. Are these things happenstances? No. God, I believe God is in hot pursuit of all of us. And story after story, and just people that God is doing things that, you know, the world may have thrown away. They've condemned themselves for making mistakes or doing bad things, but there's no condemnation, right? The case is closed. He's not holding those things against us anymore because he wants us to live a life powerful, to impact and to touch other people and give them hope. We can't give hope if we're condemned all the time, right? Imagine if Jesus was condemned all the time. Well, I don't know if I'm worthy or not. Can you imagine that? He had confidence. He had no condemnation. Obviously, he didn't sin. God didn't come to condemn us. But the stuff that is attacking us, and the devil wants us to twist it around and tell you that God is after you, you know, that he doesn't have anything to do with it. It's all God's fault. You know, even insurance policies like, well, an act of God, an act of this. No. Verse 4. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. I love that, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're a new creature, right? When God comes in us and he lives in us, and they're always thinking, well, is that God? Was that me? Was that God? Was that me? The Bible says that he has put things in there to will and to do his good pleasure. To will and to do his good pleasure. There are things in you that are going to pull when you're born again, and especially when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're going to pull you to want to do things, right? Let's see. Was that me or God wanting to pray for that person? I would say both. Right? You know, we get to the point where his will and my will are the same. They should be. That's what Jesus's was. Well, was that me or was that God? Both! Because I want what he wants. And he wants what I want. And so we're just two little happy peas in one pod. Right? Because Jesus said, hey, I'm not only am I going to live in you, but my Father and I, we're going to have our abode in you, our home in you. They're walking around right now in you. They're walking around right now. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's upon me. If you're born again, he's in and upon you too. Right? Well, I just don't know. Yeah. God's right under our nose. He's right there. And we are free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. I always like to think this, you know, the righteous requirement is fulfilled through Jesus, not you. So take the pressure off. Take the pressure off. You know, it's amazing because when Andrew and I got married, you know, I didn't sit around going, okay, I'm going to try to get to know her. Okay. I'm going to try really hard to know her. Okay, I'm going to try really hard to know her. Okay. Let's see. Would she like chocolate? Or squirrel meat. Let's see here. Oh, no. I mean, hello? Right? I don't sit around going, okay, I just need to know. I need to know Adrian better. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Now, I just spend time with her, right? It just happens that way. And all of a sudden, we think it's all weird and goofy when we're around God and we read about God. Oh God, I'm trying to get to know you better. It's just you just read the Bible and you just talk to him, and then what happens is like, oh, he likes that, right? We're trying to weird things out, you know, like this is weird formula, you know, like God's all creepy and stuff, you know, like he's gonna whack me, like he's an Italian godfather. Am I gonna whack you? No, he's not going to whack anybody, but we get to know him, don't we? Right? You don't just... We've made things religious, haven't we? You know, Jesus dealt with this junk in his day where the religious Pharisees tried to formulate everything and you can't do that and you can't do this and, you know. I mean, when you read Leviticus, I get it, okay? It is something like, okay, we got to take a dove, two turtle doves, and we got to do this, and we got to do this, and for this sin, we got to do this, and this, and this, and I mean, it does. And thank God for the New Testament. Now we just say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm sorry, help me. And then it's all done, you know? Or the PETA people would just have a cow. Well, a cow. oops. Did I say that out loud? Ah, no, okay, back. But anyway, they would kind of flip out, wouldn't they? If, yeah, they would have a turnip. That's right. Or a what's that stuff? Tofu, right? Yeah. Anyway, so, but, you know, we don't have to do that anymore, do we? We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore, okay? I mean, you know, the animal rights activists would just be all over our case today if we were, you know, sharpening our knives and Fluffy had to go under the knife because of my sins. You know, that wouldn't go over very well. But we don't do that anymore, do we? We don't. Thank you, Jesus. Because, yeah. So take the pressure off. We are free to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just say that together. I am free. To live. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, and I'm not anywhere near yet. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. Yeah, there's a gauge for you if you want to decide whether or not you're in the flesh or not. Those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. I like that. For the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. See, we can kind of gauge ourselves, can't we? Right? I mean, just listen to people all the time. It's all about, oh, man, we got plowed last night. Oh, it was awesome. We drank all this. Yeah. All right. When we know that, you know, out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks. So you're around somebody long enough, you're going to hear some things about them. Verse 7. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. So that when you read this, you really understand a lot about people, don't you? Those people who are fighting against it, number one, you can't because you don't have the nature of God in the inside of you, and it doesn't make sense. That's why the news media and everything thinks that ministers are just crazy, right? They just think they're just bunkers. You know, it's always attacking Benny Hinn and, you know, all of these people. And I always just laugh at, you know, and there's some good journalists out there. I'm not saying there aren't, but I was just laughing because I'm thinking, you know, it's amazing when you study journalism, all of a sudden you're an expert in religion, politics, right? You know, you're just an expert now. Wow. You know, you've got a self-ordained doctorate in everything. You know, you kind of know everything, and there's things I don't know. But we come back to these things. I like this because it says, in fact, the mindset of the flesh fights God's plan. Why is that? Because you have to submit. Flesh doesn't like to be out of control. And especially your mind. Especially nowadays, your mind, when you start... I remember I went to somewhere and a while back and got my... You sit in like either like, you know, a dentist's office or a doctor's office, you have a car worked on. What everybody's doing? Right? They're on this thing. Because our mind can't be idle. It has to be, we have to be in control. We have to be engaged, don't we? All the time. Flesh doesn't like to submit to God. You read about stuff in the Bible all the time, you know. The Lord told Abraham, go to right? Doesn't make sense. I'm doing good here, right? I'm okay, you know. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are what? Controlled by the flesh. What's controlled by the flesh? Just void of him. Controlled by the flesh. You know, a sign that you're controlled by the flesh, you refuse to submit to God's direction and you have no interest in his ways. No interest in his ways. No interest in his ways. I was different, okay, but I was kind of exposed to, you know, the things of God at an early age. And so, you know, I saw a move of the Spirit and I saw things happening and people falling out in the Spirit and people baptizing the Holy Spirit and just some really cool stuff happening. And so, but for other people, you know, they'll say things like, and I get a really kind of, well, our church doesn't do that. Well, that's a little weird. I'm not sure if I believe that or not, right? What about the Bible? What's the Bible have to say? What does God think about it? What does God want you to do? I remember, and you all just probably haven't experienced these things, but when I used to work for Faith Library Publications, and we would go to you know, these book shows and different things like that. I mean, we were lepers. I mean, I literally had people that would, our booth would be over here, and they would do this trick. I'm like, hi. And so one lady came to me one time. I was in Riverside, California, and she came up to me and she had her, you know, she had a Bible like this too. And she's like, "Do you sell the King James Version?" I'm like, "Well, we do. Yeah, our Rhema Bibles are King James." "Oh, okay." She was a, you know, King James only person, you know. So, because Jesus spoke in King James. Well, of course. I mean, duh. Anyway, so. anyway, and then, so she came and she says, "Well, what happened was you had to sign this thing for, you know, door prize and everything." She goes, "Well, I don't believe a word that you people say, but I'm just getting this signed." I'm like, "Okay, that's fine. No problem." I'm thinking, well, we teach salvation. We teach, you know, water baptism. We teach everything. She doesn't believe a word we say. I'm like, okay. That would be the Bible. I'm sorry. But see how we get weird? Because we don't pursue the things of God, just what our comfort level is. And that's the flesh, isn't it? Right? I have people that, and again, you have to be mature. You have to be have an ear for things where I will listen to people who are outside of my camp because of they have biblical truths. But again, you have to be, sometimes, you know, you have to understand and know what to listen for, right? When you have the word in you and begin to have the word in you, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, right? And you'll be able to have that witness on the inside to say, "Oh, that's right, praise the Lord. I didn't look at it that way. You're right, there is biblical truth." And then you'll, other things, and you'll, that's weird. That's just off. But we as believers need to be what? Pursuers of truth. And most importantly, pursuers of Him. A lot of people aren't pursuing Him. They're pursuing what their church teaches, right? They're only pursuing what, you know, what their comfort level is. My goodness, I just thought, whew, baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the most amazing thing that ever happened to me. I mean, I felt like I was on fire. Now, again, your experience is different. I had one of my best friends at Rhema. He was, when he got born again, he felt like he's all on fire. Well, when I got born again, I just felt like, hey, just another day. You know, I was like, oh, I don't feel anything different. But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, he's like, whew, man, that was awesome. But he didn't feel anything when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So again, we don't gauge it on our feelings or experience, but we want to experience God, right? We want to go deeper with Him. All right, I'm sorry I'm boring you, but we'll move on here, okay? Verse 9, we'll kind of end here. "But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit." Many people are dominated by the flesh because they don't take the time to tell the flesh who's in control. Like Smith Wigglesworth said, I never ask my body or ask myself what to believe or how to feel. I tell myself how to believe and how to feel. Well, I don't feel like, well, you know, I don't feel like doing a lot of things, right? If I went by feelings, I would have put up three little girls for adoption a long time ago, right? Hello? I'd be living by myself somewhere on the side of a mountain doing my thing. I was going by feelings all the time, what I want to do, right? Hello? Oh, but I still love them anyway. Oh, maybe I'll feed them after church. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what I feel like at that time, right? Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, there's plenty of snowdrifts to lose them on, right? Yeah, we can just... Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'll come back in a couple hours and pick you up. I promise. "And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not what? Of Him." It's connected with Him. We want to be with Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Father. It's all about Him. It's all about what He wants to do. It's all about getting close to Him. It's all about pleasing Him. It's all about wanting to be around Him and knowing His ways and knowing what He likes and knowing what He dislikes. You always have people who are you know, in the flesh or anything, it's all about them. Well, I don't fit. Well, I don't. Well, I don't think. I don't. No. The word says this, this, this. That's why I believe this, right? Not what I think or you think or anything else. Okay, well, you've got a great theory, but if I don't see scripture for it or something, yeah. Verse 10, now Christ lives his life in you. Do you know God is living his life in you? See, we've been lied to so much to think that we're a little orphan Annie down here. We're these little orphans here on the earth, and God just kind of kicked the world, like some of the deists think, that God just kind of put things in motion, and this world's spinning around, and we're these little orphans out here. But God is engaged in us, right? Like the deist, that philosophy that, you know, everything's just kind of, the world's kind of set in motion, and God's kind of sitting back watching everything and pinned a $20 bill to our shirt and said, good luck, kid. Hope everything works out. No. Theist. We have a theist mentality. I mean, God's interacting with us. Not only is he interacting with us, he lives in us. He's trying to live through us, and he's empowering us. But then the devil, you know, these scriptures here are telling us that he's living in us. He's empowering us. He's wanting to live his life through us. He not only wants to be, you know, part of our lives, but he wants to be completely absorbed in us, in our life, all the time. The Holy Spirit. He wants to be involved in everything. And the lie from the beginning of the garden, in the beginning, the devil said, well, you're going to be happy and be able to have happiness without God. And that is completely impossible. People think they're going to have a good time without God, and it is hell. That's what hell is, the existence of hell. Yeah. It's terrible. It's awful. Well, I want to be happy. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. Really? Because that all comes from, it emanates from the very presence of God. And even your body may be dead because of the effects of sin. His life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. See, it doesn't have anything to do with what, you know, your actions. Now, our actions are important, meaning living righteous before God. But we'll just end on this. I want to read it again. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Not because of what you've done, right? Not because you're trying to be, but because he has imparted his life into you because you're fully accepted by him. You are fully accepted by him. You are fully accepted by him. You're accepted by God no matter how off you are, no matter what the effects of sin in your life are. You've been accepted. He's accepted you. You know, we always talk about the prodigal son. Great story. I was listening to Oral Roberts teach about it today, but preaching about it this morning. But you know, do you know the one that I'm really the most concerned about in that story? The fatted calf. Well, besides him, It talks about there's three main characters in there, right? The prodigal son who left. Jesus talks about the son who, you know, stuck around but had a bad attitude, and then the loving father. You know, the loving father. The world and the devil wants to make us think that, you know, God is mad at us, that he's, you know, out to get us. But Jesus reveals something about the Father in that story that he's watching. Because it said he saw him from afar off, didn't he? The Father saw the Son from afar off. You know? He is actively looking and pursuing the Son to come back, right? You notice how the prodigal son didn't come up and knock on the door, and then the father's eating, and then he turns around, oh, it's you, you're back. Right? Which was probably most of us would be, or you know, a lot of people today. Nobody's out, he's out looking for him, he's pursuing, and then when he first saw him, he started running after him. Right? It just, again, that story reveals completely the heart of God. That even though we've made mistakes, he's pulling us back. He's always wooing. He's always looking for us. He's always doing things. He's always... And I remember this vision the Lord gave me years ago. And just how, you know, I saw him from the back. And, you know, it was Jesus. I saw him in the Jesus. And I turned around. And he was, you know, it was... He turned around and he was holding me as a baby. And then he was walking, holding my hand as I was a toddler. And then he was there with me when I was, I mean, all throughout my whole life. Like he's always been there. You know, and I know at times I've walked away from him and just because of frustration and different things. But he showed me he's always been there for me. Like he's always been around all the time, waiting. Always been there with me. And you think about that, and you think all the mistakes, you know, and you think, well, God, I'm just not worthy. No, he's like, I'm right here next to you. I want you to come back. So we live in a sin consciousness mentality that God is mad at us, or we're not good enough, or I've made too many mistakes, or I'm not spiritual enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, I'm not this, or I'm not that. Trying to get to know him. I'm trying to do this. You don't try to get to know somebody. You just spend time with them, and then it just happens. We could take the pressure off of Christianity and just be real with him and just be real with other people. You know, I've been in churches before where we've had these people that are, you know, I was at Rhema one time, and there's wonderful people there, but you get the goofballs once in a while. You know, you get the super spiritual, the, you know, there's a devil behind every tree kind of people, you know, and this guy, I don't know what it was. He was from France, so nothing against French people, okay? But he was a friend of mine at Rhema. And he walked over to his brother, Brent. I saw you do this. That's the sign of the devil. And then I'm like, I don't remember, you know. I don't remember going around Rhema going, yeah, too many times. You know, it's something I would remember. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm at a, you know, at a death metal concert or something, you know, going like this. I'm like, I'm a Rhema. I don't know. When would I use this? I don't know, okay? Maybe there's a time. I didn't pay any attention. But evidently, you know, I was rocking out at Rhema with, you know, the, you know, devil symbol or something. But, you know, there are weird people all around. You know, they're trying to be super spiritual. And just be real with God. Just be real with people. You know? I talk to God just like I'm talking to you, and you know, this morning in fellowship with him and everything. I don't go out in public and go, thank you, Lord. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I make a big spectacle of anything, you know. Glory, you sinners out here, right? No, but we want to, you know, we want to just be real with God, don't we? We don't be weird around people. You know, I've been around those people. They're super spiritual. Everything's confession, you know. Everything, don't say that. Don't say that. And we do. We want to have, you know, declarations where we declare things. But, you know, and we do want to watch our tongue. There is a lot of those things. But let's take the pressure off. Let's just be real with him. Let's just let God love us. Let's love him, you know. And I was, you know, people, you know, I'm talking to me about, oh, I'm just scared to go to hell. I'm scared to do this, scared to do this. You know what? If you're on a pursuit of God, you're not going to be there. If you have a love for God and you want to grow and develop and you say, hey, you know what? I want to get to know him more. I want to live my life for him. If that's in your heart and you're pursuing him, you're not to worry about those things. It's those people that are, hey, man, what can I get away with and still make it to heaven? Yeah, we're kind of wrong. You know, that's where the danger lies. Father, we just come before you this morning. We love you. Our heart is to pursue you, just to see you as a loving God that you are, that you're active in our lives all the time. The case is closed. You've already forgiven us. We're already done. There's no condemnation. Our past is forgiven. Everything's brand new, but the devil tries to drag us back down into the pit. He tries to drag us back down into those lies, but we're freed this morning. I am free in the name of Jesus, and so are you, those of us who are born again. See, and sometimes we get so caught up with like, you know, I got to witness to the person. I need to do this. I need to be spiritual. I need to, you know what? What's going to happen is I find myself where I just fellowship with God and it'll lead me to go pray for somebody at the right time. It's not this big spectacle. Brother, sister, I need to pray for you right here in front of everyone in Hy-Vee. Let's gather a big crowd in Walmart and pray for you. No, it's nothing like that. It's all about just being connected with Him, loving Him, and then just doing what He said. Yeah, okay. I'll do that, Lord. Yeah. Let me pray right now. You know, this morning, if you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you. Hallelujah. That's why we're exercising praying for other people around here, because it gives us good practice to lay hands on people. If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray with you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know what? If you want to go to Walmart or Target and you want to have a big spectacle and grab, do it. I dare you. Double dog dare you. Amen. Have a good week. You know what? Maybe Rockies. There we go. I don't know. Yeah, it is a redneck. Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks.